Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? She's a horror movie. It's the deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing inside. How can you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Like Master
Please
Watto,
shut
champion.
Up!
You're gonna put some respect
Stop
on his name now.
Stop fucking saying Master Watto on this fucking
IWGP
show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap of Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god, what is this?
It looks like a TV.
The New Japan titles, they need to stop making titles.
It looks like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like, it, you could display whatever you want on the digital.
Oh, like
title.
An LCD screen?
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good.
That'd be
worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross, 100%.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That answer is wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I should just, I mean... You're welcome.
I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note. Boo. You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. Boo. Ah. Boo. Boo. You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Doors.
You start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monster Cast. I'm your host, the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That is Ryan. We have a huge show for you today. AEW Full Gear Review, of course, and more. Got the beard still going, obviously, through this month. I might rock it till through December as well. I don't know yet. I haven't made up my mind, but I'm looking pretty good. I'm going to have to update the chibi graphics at the bottom if I keep it much longer. Anyway, I will not be talking a lot on the show. That might be for the best, considering the things that I said about the AEW signing that we'll get into in a minute. Ryan will probably be talking a lot more. I went to a hockey game Saturday night, and here's one of the, actually I have one of the pucks that hit me in the head right here. This is it's just a foam puck. It was a thing that they did. They wrote like people's tickets or whatever, seat numbers or something, I don't fucking know, on them, and everybody just threw them into the ice, and not all of them made it to the ice, let's just say. So I got hit, pegged with like three or four of them in the head. And, even though they're foam, coming from way up top when I'm on the glass, it did not feel good. But anyway, I have strained my vocal cords immensely. They are still recovering. Also, really hurt the fuck out of my right hand, pounded on the glass a lot. I got into it pretty good. We got destroyed, the team that we're supposed to be going for. They lost 5-2, but we were 2-0 in fights, and that's where a lot of the hitting the glass came from. It was awesome, dude. Fucking awesome. It was so fun, and even though I did hurt my throat, because I decided not to pay $7 for a 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola, which I probably will do next time, just because I need some lubrication going on.
It was $7?
$7. You know how I know? Because I bought Casino One. $7 for a Coke and like fucking $5 or $6 for a cup of popcorn. A cup. Not a bucket. Not a fucking bag. A cup of popcorn.
Mm. Like a drink.
Quite outrageous. It was $12 for a bottle of Yingling. One glass bottle of Yingling was $12. It was asinine. To put it in perspective for people that don't drink or whatever, and because you can't really quantify a cup, because you don't know what size cup I'm talking about, but just trust me, it was pretty much a regular size. Like one of the plastic longer cups that you get from Walmart type deal. But yeah. To help you understand the outrageous prices a little bit more, everybody knows the theater box candy that you get for $1, right? $5 for a theater box candy.
How strict are they about like patting you down and shit when you go in, though? You can bring in bags or no?
You can bring in purses, but they are able to check them. I had to go through a metal detector, all that kind of shit. I assume that if it was a big enough purse or something, somebody would be like, okay, I'm checking this bag. It wasn't that serious. We got in pretty fast once we got to where we needed to go. It took a while to get there. But yeah, I was on the glass, first hockey game ever. It was really cool. I really want to talk about it, but I don't want my throat hurt for 2 more days, so I'm trying really hard not to talk about it. And I talked about it a lot last night at work to a lot of my friends. So, But it was fun as hell. So fun, in fact, that I bought 2 tickets again for January 13th. Same seats. Same day of the week, same time, 6:05 p.m. Saturday. So hopefully Tony Khan doesn't announce a pay-per-view in January 13th. I don't think he will, because that's really close to that World's End, or very close to World's End, so I don't think he will. But we should be safe. I would like to point out, though, one of the coolest moments from it, honestly, just a quick story, was the best player of our team that was playing the best that night. He was going like 100 miles an hour the entire time. I know he was annoying the fuck out of him. And he's the one that scored the first goal of the game for our team. His name was something Bond. I can't remember his first name, but something Bond. So he had a cool name too. Like number 20, 23. As soon as the game's over and the final horn sounds for the third period and it's over, him and another guy are skating by the ref. So the ref is like the last person that are skating by. And as soon as they do, the fucking dude on the other team trips our guy, and immediately I saw it because he's facing us, and I jump up and I start pounding glass like, what the fuck? And then everyone is up and booing, and it's so loud. So when the guy gets back up, he turns around to his teammates and tries to explain to him what happened, and because everybody's booing and it got loud out of nowhere, obviously they believe his teammate, right? So there's chippy fucking shit going on at the end of this game. It was so awesome. We're sitting on the away side, so the away team is coming off the ice towards us, and I'm literally right there. It's Christina on the aisle, me, and then a mom and her 2 kids, and that's it, and then it's the aisle. So they're literally walking right by us. And the dude that did the tripping, he comes off, and we're all booing the shit out of him or whatever, and he stops and looks up and just waves at us and smiles, right? So I decided, hey, I'm going to give this man the double birds. So I give him the double birds right in his fucking face. He turns right to me, looks right at me, dude, and fucking blows me a kiss. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, dude. Fuck you, you dirty bitch. It was awesome. It was so fucking cool. I turned right to Christina when it happened too, and I was like, did he just fucking blow a kiss right at me? She's like, yeah, he was looking right at you, dude. I was like, this motherfucker. It was awesome, dude. It was so fun. I was like, I kind of ruined it for myself now, because I can't go to a hockey game unless I'm on the glass now. Now, my hand is fucked up because I've always heard the term pound the glass. That's how that's how I always heard it. So when I went to go hit the glass for the first time, I pounded the fucking glass with my fucking I hammer fisted that fucking glass.
I think they do it like this, right?
Oh, they definitely do it like that. Yeah. Because my hand was fucked up after like two times doing that. Like I did it the first time a few times, right? And then I did it again. And then I'm like, I can't do that anymore. All right, that's out. Because that shit was hurting. So then I started doing the slap, but the damage had already been done. I'm still recovering from that too. That shit hurts. But yeah, man, we won both fights. Dude, the first dude, I'll tell one little more quick story because it was so good. Because I probably will forget to talk about this next week. So we had a black dude on our team. Tall, skinny black dude was going against this fat, redneck looking motherfucker. They ran into our goalie. And you know, in hockey, that's like one of the ultimate no-nos. You don't run into our goalie. So there's a dust up. There's a dust up going on at the goal or whatever. Mm. It seemed like everything was settled down. Everything was good. So they bring it out to do the face off. And as soon as they do the face off, these two motherfuckers skate away from everybody else, drop the gloves, and fucking go. And I was like, oh shit. The only two things I wanted to see when I went to this, I was like, I better see a goal. I need to see a fucking goal in regulation. I don't want to see no fucking shootout goal because it's 0-0. I want to see a fight. That's all. I got two fights and seven goals, so I can't complain. It was fucking fun. But anyway, the skinny black dude, he fucking beats this motherfucker. And the redneck dude tried to headbutt him. He cut himself under his eye. He had to leave the fucking ice for 10 minutes. The black dude ends up winning, and he faces us. Well, our side, for some reason, had more. I feel like ours had more people on it than the home side. I mean, we're all going for the home team, but you get what I'm saying. I'm just saying where we were seated at. This motherfucker turns to us, and he looked like Kurt Angle just won the fucking world title. He was like, whoa, like loud as fuck, dude. Like, it was insane. And then, so that got us hyped more. We're fucking banging on it. Then he gets into the sin bin, the penalty box, and he looks, he turns around in the penalty box to us again and does it again. Like, he just thought he was like the fuck. And he was trying to start more fights the rest of the night because he was feeling himself. Like, every time there was a dust-up, he was in the middle of it trying to get somebody to fight. They eventually kicked him out of the game, actually, because of how many fights he was trying to start. They sent him off with about 5 minutes left or some shit. It was so good. The other fight was even better because it was a really small dude. He was number 25. Can't remember his name because when he had to put on the new jersey because that one ripped, it didn't have his name on the back of it anymore. So, number 25, small dude. He was getting his ass handed to him because the dude was pulled. He did the old school, pull the jersey over.
Mm-hmm.
And the small dude got out of the jersey. And then the small dude beat his ass. And then we went fucking nuts. And the small dude, he did pretty much the same thing. It was like the only victories we had all night was just, hey, yeah, y'all beat us 5-2. And it was really 5-1 because we scored one late. Y'all beat us 5-2, but we won 2-0 in fights. And then I really wish the black dude was still in the game at the end when that motherfucker tripped our guy, our best player, because I guarantee you there would have been some fucking fighting going on. But it was really fucking fun. The next time they play won't be against that team, unfortunately, because I really want to go see them fight, go play them again, because I know they're going to remember that shit. I forgot who they play on this next one, but hopefully they're a sorrier team so we can actually get a shot, because that team was actually the number one team in the division that I found out later. So,
is it like a farm system for NHL, or is
no,
it just like
it's called the FPHL or some shit like that. Mm, okay. They do have, that was Columbus. We played against the Columbus River Dragons. I kept calling them Carolina for some reason. We do have a Carolina team in this thing, the Thunderbirds or some shit, but it's Columbus, Georgia though, not Ohio. And then, there's a few other teams too. There's two different divisions. One has six teams, one has five. So there's 11 teams overall in this league or whatever. It was fun as hell though. Christina said they're not as, I mean, obviously she was like, she's been to NHL games before for the Penguins and stuff and the Hurricanes. And she was like, oh, they're so much faster in the NHL. Yeah, no shit. If these guys were that faster, that good, they'd be in the NHL.
NHL.
Let's be real here. But it was easy for me to follow the puck. It wasn't like there were fucking 80-year-old dudes out there. They were going fast as fuck, but it just wasn't NHL speed. Like, if you watch NHL on TV and you hear them pass to each other and stuff, you hear the puck hit the stick every time. In this, I'm on the fucking glass and I didn't hear the puck hit the sticks on passes every time. So that's one difference too. There's just the speed of the game is different, but it was still so fun. I don't know if I wanted it to be NHL fast if it's that big of a difference, because I don't know if I would have been able to keep up with the puck. But it was really cool. It was another cool moment. I'll say it real quick. It's a short one. She had the Coke up there, and we've got since we're right on the glass, we have a little ledge behind the glass where you can set stuff. So she put her Coke up there. And then these two motherfuckers came in.
Oh. Hit. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I fucking lost you for a second because I forgot you were talking about the fucking Coca-Cola drink that you bought. And I was like, there's a ledge and she's putting her Coke on it.
She put her Coke on the ledge, and then like about
to lose that CW deal.
Fucking 8 to 10 minutes. Way to circle it back to wrestling. 8 to 10 minutes later, these two motherfuckers come and, you know, run right into the fucking glass, and the Coke comes shooting off towards us. Mm. It was awesome. And I was like, hey man, I paid fucking $7 for that. And there's this old couple behind us. And she was like, I thought it was $9. I was like, I know it was fucking expensive. That's what I know. And you just fucking made that bitch flat. Fucking asshole. I think my throat started hurting when I yelled at the referee because black dude, when he was still in the game, none of the refs were watching him. His last name is Helland, by the way. I'm pretty sure if I got that right, if I'm pronouncing it right. But nobody was looking. Somebody punched him in the fucking face when he wasn't looking. Like, gave him a little jab in the face. Not like a full-on, you know. But jabbed him in the face. So, of course, he wanted to start some shit after that. And the refs wouldn't let him. And the refs ended up giving him a penalty. And I was like, what the fuck? So, the ref, one of the main refs is, like, right in front of us a lot of the time because he's in the middle of the ice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just yelled out as loud as I could. I was like, hey ref, you want to borrow my glasses? And everybody started laughing around us or whatever. And that's when my throat started hurting, because I think I yelled it way too loud. Like, I didn't think everybody was going to hear me, and I didn't need to yell it that loud. So that wasn't very smart. I think that's when my throat started hurting for real. In the first period, I was pretty laid back the entire first period because I didn't really know how to react. I'm not really good in public settings and stuff. Wrestling shows, I do the same thing. Like, at the beginning, I'm very reserved and I don't want to fucking, you know, get up. I don't like being in people's way, like we talked about on the show before. Like, because I'm in the front. So if I stand up, clearly I'm in somebody's way unless they're standing up too. But after when that first fight happened though, in the first period, and we ended up winning, and that motherfucker went nuts. It was all over from there. I was invested.
I feel like at wrestling shows, if I'm by myself, I'm less likely to be like that. But if I'm with somebody else, then I'll be louder and like get into shit so that they'll get into it. If that makes sense. But by myself, I'm normal. I feel like I'm a fucking journalist. I'm just watching, just taking notes. Except for Kenny Omega and Ospreay. I was going fucking nuts during that.
It was quite the experience. I can't wait to go back. It'll be awesome. Hopefully they don't bottom out by January and they actually like have a decent record and have something to play for and stuff by the time we go watch the second game. But it was fun. The only reason I didn't go to any other games before January 13th, because I got tickets available for everything. It's just the fact that we're in the holiday season, obviously, so everybody's extremely busy around here, so that's one reason. And two, they didn't have my seats available. All my seats, my two seats were gone, and I wanted the exact same seats because they were great fucking seats. So I was like, I need to have these two seats again. So January 13th was the first game that I popped up. I was clicking all their home games, and that was the first one. And I was like, all right, I'm getting these. So January 13th, whoever the fuck they're playing against, hopefully we get that dub. But let's talk some wrestling. Speaking of getting dubs, dude, Full Gear, AEW got a huge dub this weekend. And we talked about this a little bit on the show, and we talked about it before in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like, this one had the better stories and stuff, but the matches weren't like dream match scenarios or anything where you're like, oh man, this fucking pay-per-view is going to be so fire. Yeah. And then of course, those are the pay-per-views that end up being in the discussion for best pay-per-view of the year or all time in AEW's history, you know, stuff like that. I feel like we can put this one up there close to the top as well. Yeah.
I think the Hangman Swerve match is carrying a lot of weight for that. So I've gone back and watched that one once already. And I feel like the rest of the card was good. Don't get me wrong. But a couple things took me out of a couple matches. So one thing I wasn't crazy about was having Brian Cage do the interference spot in even that match. I thought it was unnecessary. I think if you're telling the story of Swerve, then just having Nana pull him out the one time to stop that one count was enough.
I disagree with that because I'm not going to shit all over your thing. Like, I get what you're saying because I say that kind of shit all the time about the interference stuff, right? But I only disagree because Hangman was beating Swerve's ass so much that Swerve just coming around by himself and winning the match wouldn't have made any sense to me because, like, how the fuck did he come back from that?
Well, that's the thing, though. Nana pulls him out at one point to stand him up at the part where he's got the barbed wire wrapped around his head. And I feel like that alone, I was like, okay, you got a free recovery that you shouldn't have gotten. You should have lost that match right there. And then from there, him coming back kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a thing that actually went in his favor as far as physicality goes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just the reset
part. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's just like that match, the way it started, the first 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it was Swerve just getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
And then, like, when it got to the point where Swerve was stapling himself.
Mm-hmm.
And being like showing you how sadistic he is, and now he's like immune to the pain because he's already taken everything that Paige can dish out. Now, if he would have won there or shortly after that, I would have been okay. That would be.
Yeah, I thought after the fucking the dead eye onto the barbed wire thing, I was like, fuck, is this gonna be a squash match? Because that whole sequence, I was like, fuck, like it was. I mean, he had already done the little Terminator spot where he stapled himself by then, but I was just like, fuck, like. If it ends here, and it could have for sure, I was.
It could have ended at a lot of different points because that match was over 29 minutes long.
Yeah, that's crazy. My dog's whining. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna go let her out. I'll be right back.
You're good, bro. I'm gonna talk about it a little bit. I will say that Ryan is thinking around along the same lines as I do with. The interference spots. Like, I've always been a person in past pay-per-view matches, especially cage matches, for instance. Like, cage match, it's nonsensical to have someone come in and interfere when the entire object of that match is to keep people out. So, that always annoys me. It annoyed me about the Becky Lynch, Trish Stratus cage match as a recent example. Like, it just... super annoying to me. I hate it. In a Texas death match, however, I don't have a problem with anybody interfering. Brian Cage obviously makes sense because he's actually in Swerve stable. He has the history with Adam Page, so I didn't really have a huge issue with it. And it helped protect Adam Page even when he lost at his pay-per-view and his type of match in a match where he was destroying Swerve. So, like, if we're giving Swerve the win, and I didn't think we were. I thought I picked Hangman Adam Page, obviously, in the prediction show. So did Ryan. If we're giving Swerve the win, then yeah, we have to protect Adam Page at some point because he's been taking a lot of losses as well. And it's like he doesn't have the Elite to fall back on right now because they're at odds with each other. So what do you do with them? Maybe put him in the Continental Classic or something like that. But then, like, how serious is people going to take him when he just lost twice in a row to Swerve? So I think even with him losing to Swerve this time, he's been protected twice, once by Prince Nana's crown and then once by Brian Cage interfering. So, like, I don't have a huge problem with it. The match was absolutely insane. I think it gets lost in the shuffle, but I think the Jericho and Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks match was really fucking good. So, like, if you literally turn on Full Gear right now and go right to that match and only watch that match, I think it's way better. I think it should be talked about more, but it's not because it came on right after Hangman Swerve or whatever. I do hate that he's making me talk this much when I've got a fucked up throat, but I'm going to keep going. Let me look at the predictions. We're going to throw up the prediction records, actually. Let's look at So I gained one on Ryan, actually. So here's the new records. I'm still Allegedly. Champ. I'm still Allegedly. Champ, baby. I won by 9-2 to 8-3. So I've gained a match back, I believe.
It was Julia Hart was mine, and then you got the tag match, right? And what was the other one?
Oh, the Bucks tag match. And I got
both tag matches, the four-way and the...
Yes, the four-way too, yeah. All right, so I was just talking about how I usually don't like interference in matches, but I'm giving this one a pass just because it was Texas Deathmatch plus Brian Cage has the history with Adam Page. And like I said on the show, in the prediction show, what do you do with Adam Page if he loses twice to Swerve? So he's been protected twice because it's basically Continental Classic or nothing. And are people going to take him seriously if he loses straight up to Swerve after already losing to him again? Because he doesn't have the Elite to fall back on because they're at odds with each other. So it's not like he can just be inserted into the Elite story out of nowhere. He's got to go somewhere because now the Swerve Hangman story you assume would be over after that Texas Death Match, at least for the time being.
You see what Hangman posted on Instagram?
No,
it's like a picture of him drinking Swerve's blood, and the caption was like, "You're in me forever" or some shit. It was weird, but yeah, no, I don't know. They might call it after that, but I feel like with the story being that Swerve was the one that broke into his house or whatever, like Hangman has to go up on at some point. Well,
I mean, there's one. This is one of the reasons why I had them in my fantasy booking of the Continental Classic in the same group, because then they would have to fight each other, and then Hangman could get the win back there or something like that to get the points or whatever.
Clean match where he can't use cinder blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that match was fucking crazy.
The match was insane, dude. And I am going to do something I rarely do on the show, and that's tell Ryan that he was right and I was wrong. We have this conversation about match ratings all the time, and I say I'll never go over 5. And now I finally have my first instance of what I understand what you were saying. And the reason I have that is because I gave Hangman and Swerve at WrestleDream a 5. Well, this match was better than that match.
Right.
So this will be my first ever 5.5 rating on the show for that Texas Death Match. It's not something I'm going to do constantly. Like if it's a 1-to-1 comparison like that, I'll do it. But if it's if it's a really good fucking 5-star match and it's Omega and Ospreay, right? I'm not giving it a 5.5 based off of Hangman and Swerve's 5. I would give it a 5.5 based off the last Ospreay and Omega. So I'm going to keep it 1-to-1. But I do understand what you're saying right now.
Well, that's how Okada and Omega ended up with a 7, right? It's because he was comparing it to the other matches.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, I get that now. So 5.5 is my highest rating I've ever given. But that would also be dependent on how many times these guys fight as well. Mm-hmm. So I might give something a 5 or whatever, and then everybody's like, oh, how'd you get that one a 5? But this one's a 5.5. Well, they never fought each other again. So do better than that one. Big deal. Why this one got a 5.5? So it also depended on that. But you were not only were you right about that, but you were also right in Julia Hart's win for the TBS championship. Now, I said on the prediction show I wanted to go Julia Hart, but
I think I even called how she was gonna win, didn't I?
What?
I said she was gonna steal a pin.
Yeah. So yeah. I was gonna pick Julia, and I liked the way the show was going with how many differences we were doing. So I just said, fuck it, I'm gonna go Sky Blue, because it just kind of made sense to me if you think about it too, with who her first opponent could be. Like I was talking about Willow when I was fantasy booking what they could do right out of the gate with that.
That's the same reason I picked the Bucks, so anyway.
I hate the fact that one of them had to lose, I guess, because they were both doing so good. And like we said, Statlander's ready to go to the next level. So I was happy for her. You got that one right, obviously. Shockingly enough, you had mentioned at the end of the prediction show or whatever. Hey, what happens if we pick somebody and none of us get it right? That would fucking suck. But we didn't have that problem here somehow.
Yeah. The four way tag though, I should have won, because when Cash did that fucking move onto the ladder on the outside, Dax was just standing in the fucking ring doing nothing.
Yeah, they
for like
had, they
30
both,
fucking
they had
seconds.
Two ladders. They had two ladders and both people in the ring. Yeah.
What the fuck was that? I mean, I could have climbed that ladder 10 times in that time. I mean,
you gotta have hair to protect that brain, man. You can't just let that thing out there willy nilly. It gets damaged.
Fucking Christ.
All right, so
we're gonna do quick takes. I was like, oh cool, that's the ending spot. There's nobody there.
Let's do some quick takes on some of these other ones. Now, I will say that I had said when you were gone to let the dog out, I said if you turn on full gear right now and just skip ahead to the Golden Jets versus Bucks match, I think it's a lot better than what people like. People's not talking about it because of the Swerve Hangman match, but I think that match is close to a five as well.
It was really good storytelling in that match, and not just the obvious stuff of like, oh, Kenny might be triggered Jericho or whatever. That was like the blatant stuff, but just like the a lot of other stuff, like the way that Matt had like no fucking hesitation at all going at Kenny. Nick had a little bit, and then Kenny had a lot of hesitation going at fucking both of them. And they play that up really well to Kenny's gradual, like, all right, no, fuck both of you kind of thing. Also, their chair tantrum hitting the post and shit at the end was like the same tantrum as Jericho had in WCW way back in the day, like down to the fucking, like hitting the post with a chair and the same screaming and stomping around shit. Like it was all the same. So there's an interesting storytelling element there that I don't think people picked up on, aside from the obvious, like, oh, well, Kenny's their friend, but also whatever shit, which is fine.
You think
but
it was interesting that Don Callis was on commentary for that call?
I thought it was strange, because why does he give a shit who wins? Unless he's trying to pick up the Bucks.
Yeah, that would be weird. I mean, they could tease that, but I don't think they would go. That wouldn't make any sense with all the shit that they did to get Kenny away from him. But all right, so MJF and Joe both win, so that now that Joe can get the title shot.
All right, I got a small complaint about that.
About the tag team match or about the main event?
Both at the same time, because it's related. Ahead. How the fuck are you going to sell that Adam Cole is going to come out and try to fight fucking Jay White, but he's not okay enough to try to fight for the tag team titles? It doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
I understand he's still hurt.
No,
but
not only do I agree with that, here, I'll one-up you. Why didn't Samoa Joe offer to step in for MJF in the world title match? Because, like you said on the prediction show, he has to protect MJF's title so that he can get a title shot against MJF. So why didn't we get Samoa Joe versus Jay White in the main event?
And why was Jay White just automatically going to get the belt? What is that?
Yeah, that was random. They just threw that in there like it was a contract. One of the bylines of the contract. I was like, no one ever said no shit like that, ever. I mean, they didn't want to give away the story at Full Gear as well.
Maybe.
But still.
Yeah, that whole thing, because I was like, because I thought about it for a sec, because I confused myself. And I was like, oh, well, they do that in New Japan. Like, if somebody can't defend it, they give it to the... And it's like, no, wait, they don't just give it to the other fucking guy. There's always a match for the vacant one, like, every time. Because that's how Lance Archer originally got the U.S. title.
Maybe it was Mox
had to vacate.
Possession is 9/10 of the law situation. So Jay White had it for the last month and a half. Right. So maybe he just becomes champ. Just
give it to him.
Like an Eric Bischoff handing Triple H the Raw world title now. Like, it's just yours, bro. Like, we're just going to have a title and it's yours.
I wasn't crazy about the way that they told that story. I wasn't crazy about Adam Cole is apparently okay enough to try to fight Jay White in a singles match, but not okay enough to stand on a fucking apron. I didn't like a lot of the stuff in the main event too, where there were opportunities for Adam Cole to fucking hit Jay White with his crutch instead of trying to do the, oh, here's a ring bullshit. Just fucking smack him with the goddamn crutch in the head. He's like leaning his head out the ropes. I thought that was what was coming.
How many times did it look like Adam Cole was actually trying to cost MJF the match?
Twice, I think.
He did the whole ring thing like fucking Santos Escobar.
That shit like Wardlow
with the brass knucks for Logan Paul. Like, what the hell were you doing, bro?
Yeah,
like you didn't think that Jay White was going to come over there. You couldn't grab that faster than he crawled over there.
Like, why did it take him so long to grab it back? I was like, what the fuck? Your foot's broken, not your fucking arm. What are you doing? Take it.
All right. So anyway, the matches were fine in a vacuum, but like, yes, I agree. Because they were connected, it doesn't make any sense at all why Joe wasn't the one to come out, or why Joe didn't come out at all, even if he wasn't out there to fill in
for the actual
match. At least come out there and take out the guns or something, something like that. It didn't make any sense to me either. I agree with that. Quality like in ring action,
like,
just the story is gone
backstage. So like, what are we doing?
Yeah, storytelling-wise, it didn't make any sense. I agree with you. And that doesn't usually happen, definitely not in AEW's main event scene. So, like,
I thought when Cole came out that he was going to call out Joe to come back.
Because they know each other, yes. And yeah, exactly. I know. That would have been awesome. That would have been cool. Yeah. Or Adam Cole could have acted like he was coming out, and then Joe's like, nah, I got this. Don't worry about this.
Mm.
And then that would have worked, too.
I think
that would have been so interesting, because he saves Adam Cole's title so that he can get a title shot. Then he saves MJF from getting the to keep the title so that he could still get the shot against MJF. Like, that's never been done before, I don't think. Like, literally filling in for a world champion in a world championship match just so that you could get a match against the actual world champion. That would have been so fucking cool to do like that.
Here's the thing, too, and somebody else mentioned this, so I'm stealing their thing, but there's such a history of doing interim titles in AEW that it really wouldn't have made sense for them to do the, oh, well, he can't come out, so it just goes to Jay White anyway. It would have made it like an interim title. It wouldn't have been gone straight to Jay. So it's another weird little thing, too.
I will say, in Tony's defense, he has been doing vacant a lot more recently than the interim. Mm-hmm. But then it still doesn't make any sense because it's not like they're vacating it either. Like you said, like they do in New Japan where they have a match for it. So yeah. What do? You vacate it right there. And then what you should have done was you vacate it and then have Joe versus Jay White in a fantasy world.
I think K-fade. People would have been pissed off about paying for an MJF main event and then not getting it.
I agree with that. But yeah. I mean, I don't think they would have been as pissed off if Joe was doing the match for MJF, though.
I had to explain that to somebody in the fight. So I ordered on Fight because it's like $10 cheaper on the Canadian VPN. Apparently you can go to like Lithuania or some shit. It's like $4, but I don't mind paying $40. 50 is a little, but I'll pay 40. So I do it on the Canadian VPN, and Fight has a chat. So in the chat, when MJF first got injured, there was this dude in there who was like pissed. He's like, I just paid $40 to see this MJF match and now he's not going to wrestle. I was like, bro, he's going to come back out. Like the way that they do these stories is like, he's going to be injured. Adam Cole's going to come out to the ring and then they're going to act like that's going to be the match. And then you're going to hear like a fucking ambulance come up and MJF's going to come out or whatever. It'll still be that match, I promise. And he's like, oh yeah, I just started watching him wrestle like 3 months ago. I don't know. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense. But no, it's like a very common trope, dude. You'll be all right. It'll still be MJF, I promise.
All right. I mean, if you watch the pre-show, you already got to see him wrestle anyway. So pipe down.
Yeah. Hi. You already paid your money.
You could have watched him for free and not paid anything. All right, so let's see. Claudio beat Buddy, which we both called a really good match.
Mm.
Probably one of the better 0 hour matches ever.
Like ever or?
Yeah, yeah, probably, yeah. I would say
it was
so.
Pretty competitive.
It definitely felt like they're clearly not done with each other, but it's also clear that best friends and BCC aren't done with each other either. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
They seem pretty done. I mean, aside from the little bump from Hook to Yuta, but that's a whole different thing. I think that's setting up for like an FTW thing. I don't think that's both of them against each other or anything.
Eddie Kingston beat Jay Lethal.
Yeah, that was a pretty good match too. I didn't expect much out of it.
I don't have a separate topic for the Continental Classic thing, but we can talk about that, the Triple Crown.
Yeah, so the way that Eddie described it was different than the way that Tony described it at the Scrum. So I was confused as fuck when Eddie described it because it didn't make any sense. Eddie made it sound
which is weird because Eddie should have described it correctly because it's based off of All Japan, which is he's a huge fan of.
Right. So Eddie, when he was describing it, made it sound like he was going to put the titles up individually in his matches. And then if he lost in the tournament, whoever he lost to would be the champion until they
were
going up
every time that person lost. It would just keep changing hands until the final person. It could like change hands 20 times in this fucking tournament.
Right. So my thought was he was going to lose it to somebody. And then that person was going to lose it to someone else. And then that someone else would be Eddie's last match in the block. So Eddie would beat them for their final match in the block, but he wouldn't necessarily make it to the final. So he would still leave with both titles and everything would be fine. And then it would still do the thing. But then at the scrum, Tony's like, no, it's just for his titles. Like whoever wins the fucking tournament gets his titles too, no matter who he loses to or anything.
Yeah, like, so the way I understood it, based off of All Japan Pro Wrestling, when All Japan had a Triple Crown champion, they had the PWF or PFT title or some shit like that, and then they had two NWA titles, and they were the Triple Crown, considered the Triple Crown. So what's going to end up happening is you've got three titles from three different promotions, quote-unquote. You've got the Ring of Honor World Championship, you've got the NJPW Strong Championship, and you'll have the AEW Continental Championship. And then what happens is either they're going to carry all three around like they're fucking Ultimo Dragon, or they're going to have just the Continental Championship be the main title, and they call that the Triple Crown Continental Championship type deal. So one of those two things are going to happen. That I don't know. That part I don't know. Because if the deal ever fizzles out or whatever, and New Japan doesn't want to do that anymore, or AEW doesn't want to do that anymore, they could just break the titles back up like they did in Japan. So,
yeah.
But that's the way I understand it. And then, of course, Tony Khan also said that whoever the Continental Champion was, going into the next year's tournament, they would automatically be entered into the tournament if they were still champion by the time the tournament started again, which I thought was kind of cool.
I don't think you he's not going to have them defend the Triple Crown. Yes, he is.
It's literally a championship. And then the people that are bitching about, oh, how many titles does AEW have? The same amount they had before because y'all kept counting Ring of Honor titles. So yeah, pretty much. this is still one title. This is less titles, technically. You just took three. Well, two, because this new one is a brand new one. But you get what I'm saying. Two into one, basically, now. Yeah. So, like, it's...
We've subtracted one total title.
That we have to see on TV because he's the New Japan Strong Champion. That's why I'm saying two into one. But, yes,
yeah.
It's literally less titles now that you have to see on TV. Why are you complaining?
Well, maybe. Some might come out with three.
I mean, I'm cool with him coming out with three, but it's recognized as one, the Triple Crown Championship. Right.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if they did a belt that was like a big center thing and then two smaller thing, kind of like Mickey Mouse ears, sort of, but not really on top, but it was like a square total, if that makes sense. And then you have the two ROH Strong and then the other one, or you could do like a three set. There's ways to do it, but whatever design they come up with.
The AEW logo in the middle of the belt doesn't have to be the entire fucking, you know, big-ass thing. You could just have it the same size as the two on the fucking plates on the side and then whatever the design is over it. So it's got Ring of Honor on one side, AEW in the middle, and then New Japan on the other side. That would be... Okay. All right, we're back. All right, sorry about that, guys. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. I had no drop frames. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. So I know it was a little confusing, and Tony Khan just kept talking about the Continental Classic like eight times during the fucking scrum, so that didn't help because he said the same shit over and over and over every time he started talking about it and running it down for everybody. What do you think about the three points for a win, 1 point for a loss thing?
I think it kind of takes away some of the drama of draws, so I don't know how much I like that. His reasoning behind it is very sports-based as far as like, oh, you'll want to fight more for the win, but, I mean, it's being booked. So if you want to book more drama, I feel like you'd leave it as 2-1 because it does
Especially leave more room for no interference allowed or whatever.
Yeah. And it's got to have a time limit, right? Because a lot of them are going to be TV.
If you have a draw, it has to be a time limit. That's one of the major ways.
Double count out.
It's one of the major ways. Time on the draw is one of the major ways for a draw.
But I think doing the 3 points thing actually takes away some of the drama because it's such a big gap. So I understand
the way he was talking about, like, it's not like old double count out because hey, I'm going to stop you so I can run in the ring faster so I can get the 3 points. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, hey, I need to beat you as fast as I can because I want these 3 points. I'm not gonna be dicking around and let it go to a draw. I think that's what he was implying. But yeah, I 15 minutes probably. It's going to be the time limit. What is it in G1? Do you know?
Is it 30? I feel like there's been some pretty long G1 matches.
Yeah, that's true. There has been long G1 matches.
Probably 30. That's weird. Isn't it?
I feel like there's a lot of draws though too. There's that many 30-minute matches in it.
I think it could be right. Long.
All right, let's talk about Darby Sting and Adam Copeland getting the dub over the Patriarchy.
Kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was the easiest one besides
the white one. I like that they didn't have Edge or Adam Copeland and Christian touch at all. I feel like that saves that for something else, which is good. Builds up a lot of tension or whatever. I thought the ending was pretty funny. Just Christian fucking runs away.
Yeah, Christian. Not only did Christian leave his buddies out to dry, but he also hit Luchasaurus with the title.
So he went to go get some milk. He'll be back.
So do you think that this is leaning towards what Edge was saying was going to happen to Christian, that they're going to leave you or whatever, but it technically would be Christian's fault because he's the one that's fucking around?
I mean, maybe, but that's kind of a shit way to end the thing. Unless the next match right after this is now he has nobody to protect him anymore because they'd give up on him or whatever. And
well, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. I just think they were planting the seeds, though. I do. Yeah, I think at World's End's got to be Adam Copeland versus Christian now, right? Because you literally had to not touch for a reason.
Yeah, I probably. And I doubt either one of them are in the Continental. Old motherfuckers can't handle that. I think not having them.
Well,
touch
you wanted
good.
Jeff Jarrett in it though.
That's different. He's timeless.
Oh my god, no, that's Tony Starr.
That's both of them. They're both actors. He was in
Jeff Jarrett should have been Tony Storm's Luther.
Jeff Jarrett was in Spring Breakers as a youth minister. I don't know why I know that. Yeah, I thought that not having them touch at all was good. I think the building of tension to that was good. It's definitely a little bit early to have Nick Wayne break off of Christian. It's probably not too early to have Luchasaurus break off. I don't know what they do with Jungle Boy when he gets back, but hopefully something useful.
You didn't hear maybe they do the like devil, a, bro. You didn't hear that?
I've heard that, but I don't think his hair would fit all up underneath that fucking hood without...
I already told you, this is not anyone that's actually been under the basket, dude.
No, you didn't read... You should have read the fucking FIFO report, because yes, it is. The report is, direct from them, is that it is the people who are going to be the character that are currently under all the fucking clothes and stuff. Because there was a concern about continuity.
I'll believe that. It ain't no fucking devil.
It ain't no T-bar situation.
Yeah, I disagree. We'll see. Like, you've been getting fed that too, though.
Here's the thing, though. You notice there was no devil segment when Adam Cole was out by the ring.
Yes, I noticed that. And he's also skinny enough to wear the mask as well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help your man bun hair fitting under the thing situation.
The fuck is it? Hold on.
Did you like
his hair's too thick.
They pretty much did the punk thing with the thing where they came out with the face paint or whatever.
Oh yeah.
For this match. But I did like the matching trench coats. That was a nice little added touch though.
Yeah, I thought Edge's or goddamn, why do I keep calling him Edge? I thought Adam Copeland's, he just needs a shorter name, bro. Just Copeland? I don't know. We gotta get him a one syllable name. Cause I don't want to say Adam Copeland every time. It sucks.
And you can't just say Adam because there's too many.
Yeah, it's like Adam. I just call him Cope.
Cope. For the WWE fans out there. Cope.
Cope that he signed. I liked his face paint. I thought it looked cool. I thought Darby took some nasty fucking bumps in that match.
Well, but this was Darby's last match. I told you this already. Might as well go all out, man. Might as well go all out. And they even mentioned the Mount Everest thing on commentary, so yeah.
Like, Jesus, that one bump.
That might have been his last match too. You talk about Sting's last match in California. That might have been Darby's last match ever. You know, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen at Mount Everest.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people do die there. I imagine with him though.
You said people do die. Like it was only like three or four of them. No, a lot of people die.
I mean, people,
at Mount Everest.
No. A lot of people die. I think with him though, I think he's got enough. He does reckless shit, but I don't think he's ever going to be like. At the point where he'll push it too far, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like if he gets like a third of the way up and he's like, fuck it, I don't know, he'll probably go back down. He's got a lot to live for. So I don't think he's gonna die or anything. We'll see. Most of the people that die lately aren't dying for the reasons that they used to die. Like Sherpas used to die, or people used to die with Sherpas on the way up, and Sherpas used to die too, and stuff like that. Now it's normally like if something super unexpected happens, like there's a fucking log jam up at the top of people and people can't fucking move. That sucks. That would piss me the fuck off. I would just be like, get the fuck out of my way, it'd roll down. I'm built different though. And there's stuff like random avalanches and shit. So yeah, we'll see. I'm sure I'll be all right. A lot of people do it successfully every year too. So that's what it is. But no, some of the bumps he took were fucking nasty, dude. But the thing is too, that match was so... I thought Nick Wayne was going to take the pin. I'm actually kind of glad that they had Luchasaurus take it instead. But as far as like who's going to win and all that shit, it was pretty predictable booking. And then you could tell that they were going to tease the Edge and Hope and Christian even touching each other and stuff. So, I mean, it's fine. All right,
let's move on. We got two more matches that we haven't talked anything about that we need to talk about. That's OC defeating Moxley, like we both picked. And then, of course, Toni Storm becoming the new AEW World Women's Champion by beating Sheeta. So now they're both the only three-time women's champions. We'll start with Orange Cassidy, obviously. He got the win that he needed, or that we thought he needed at...
Before, yeah.
WrestleDream? Yeah.
Is that when they're... Yeah,
no, All Out. It was All Out. Because they were the main event at All Out because Punk wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, true.
So Punk versus Ricky Starks didn't happen or whatever. Yeah, so he didn't get the win there. and we thought that would solidify his run.
Right.
And then a lot of chicanery happened because of injuries and stuff. Cassidy gets it back, and like his first defense is against the big bad that he couldn't defeat before that ended his run. So I think this actually helps him, actually, if you think about it. Kayfabe-wise, you could always pin, and he kind of looks protected now in that first match at All Out because he was so beat up from all the challenges and stuff.
Yeah.
And now you get a healthy John Moxley and a healthy Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy won. So it's almost like Orange Cassidy would have beat you if he would have had any time to actually heal up that first time. And I think it feels like it legitimizes his first run even more.
Well, that, and you notice how head-focused a lot of Cassidy's offense was, too. It was playing up the Moxley concussion thing. That was a pretty big part of it, too. He was clearly, like, working the head. So it kind of helped both of them save some credibility, I guess. But I still feel like it's like the Cody thing. Like, if Cody would have won at WrestleMania, then everybody would be like, all right, cool. Like, that's probably how that story should have gone. We can continue from there. And same thing with Cassidy. Like, they didn't give him the win when they probably should have. So now the story feels a little bit jilted. But it seems like they've pulled it back the best that they can, I guess. So I'm good with it. I mean, we both picked him. We both thought he should have won here. The question is just, like, how much does it fuck with his legacy of his previous streak or whatever? And I get the story of him being so worn down and then losing to Moxley or whatever, but I still think the better story would have been being so worn down, still beating Moxley, and then losing it because Moxley fucked him up so bad.
Check this out. Listen to this question here. So the whole thing in the last one was he beat everybody. Every time anybody wanted a shot, he'd just throw 3-4 people in there. He don't care. Right on the spot, Rampage, Dynamite, Collision, didn't matter. And then the big bad he couldn't beat. Now he's starting off this reign by beating the big bad. So how long is he going to have it fucking this time before somebody is able to take it off him? That, like, who's going to beat him? He's almost in like a Brock Lesnar situation. Like, who the fuck's going to beat this guy? Because he literally already started out with the one dude that he couldn't beat and beat him. So who the fuck's going to take it off of him? It's going to be crazy. All right, and what do you think about Tony Storm's win against Sheeta? We said it.
You don't want to talk about that.
I don't know why people thought that she didn't. She doesn't need the title because of her character. Yes, she does. And now she has it. And they explained to you exactly why, actually, at the beginning of that. And shout out to... who was it? Shout out to one of the announcers who actually mentioned Joan Crawford by name, which I've used many times on the show to describe what her character is basically. Forgot who the hell it was.
You know, I like the pairing of Luther with her. I think it works.
No, I do too. I was just making a joke about the Jeff Jarrett thing.
No, I understand. but no, I mean, I've seen some people say, like, oh, why is Luther still around? Like, whatever. Well, Luther's...
I'm pretty sure he's a producer backstage or something, yeah, like an agent or something like that.
They don't just use him on screen shit. But yeah, I mean, he's been doing pretty good in this role too. I also like that the finish kind of protected Sheeta a little bit, but I also thought the tin thing was a little bit... It doesn't seem like it'd be hard enough for... be a big enough deal to be hit with that and lose the match, you know what I mean? But it is what it is.
Well, I mean, her ass corner shot thing, whatever the hip attack, whatever the fuck they call it, that's already one of her main moves anyway, and she has won many times with that. So adding something else extra on that just puts it away after one shot instead of having to do it multiple times and like making the finisher look weak, because I believe she hit her with it last time and Sheeta kicked out. So in that respect, it does make sense. I think it just looked weird because it was falling out of her fucking heights.
Yeah,
that's why it looked weird. She had to adjust it a few times before she even hit the fucking thing. Yeah. And then, of course, it didn't want to come out after that.
Well, the weird thing was it looked like Luther dropped her fucking shoe down her pants at first, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? But no, it was the other thing.
But I'm happy to see it. I saw the little backstage thing where she was going across the Kia Forum, and all the names that were on the wall that had performed there, headlined there or whatever, and she was that shit was funny as fuck, dude.
And the letter that she wrote to Storm
up here, we're gonna need a lot of room, all that kind of shit. That was funny. So she's clearly still in the character. The note to Tony Khan at the scrum was hilarious.
Aeroplane.
Give Ted my best was fucking, I laughed out loud at that one. Give Ted my best. That was funny as fuck.
Yeah.
Turner Broadcasting Station, give Ted my best. It's really good. And what people don't understand is she'll have it for a while. You'll kind of get tired of it probably. But then whenever she loses it, probably to Hayter, it's going to get even crazier. Like I said, like she's just going to lose her mind even more, which is going to be great. There's levels to this character. There's depth to this character. That's what makes it good. And pardon my pun, timeless, basically. The other thing is, I still stand by what I said, though. Mm-hmm. I still think it should have been Saraya dropping the title to Toni Storm at Full Gear instead of having Sheeta have another short reign for no fucking reason other than to drop it to Toni, when Toni and the Outcast were already having issues and the storyline was already built in. You could have even played up the new storyline with Ruby Soho and Cool Hand Ange by having Ruby Soho being distracted by Cool Hand Ange on the outside when she was supposed to help Saraya, and then Saraya turns around and then Toni Storm hits her with something and then does the same type of deal in the corner and does her moves or whatever. Like, and then you could play up the dissension between Saraya and Ruby Soho going forward with the storyline that they're currently involved in with Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange. Like, that would have made perfect sense to me, but you just got Sheeta just inserted in there just to have another short title run, which does her no favors, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it helps Sheeta a little bit because now she can say that she's 3-time champion, though, so she's still tied for highest number of championships, so that's always a thing too. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like this run was anything crazy or anything, but being able to say, yeah, I was a 3-time.
The last two runs haven't been. Even though her last run, she had it for only a few weeks and then dropped it to Saraya at All In.
Yeah, which was also fucking dumb. But whatever. I feel like there's one we haven't talked about. What is it?
Yeah, no, that was it. We did the main event. We did Toni Storm, Orange Cassidy, Hangman. Oh, the 4-way ladder match. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really get into that one. Besides the dumb FTR spot that didn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, there were some crazy fucking bumps in that match.
Oh,
that
crazy, for sure. The Brody King like power driver ladder thing one. On that when he fell down and they had to set the ladder back up because I guess that wasn't supposed to happen. Or the ladder was supposed to stay, I guess. Maybe they were just supposed to bounce off. I don't fucking know. Or Brody King wasn't supposed to bounce off, only the person he did the move to. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, it seemed like he was supposed to stay on there because
he laid back up there, yeah. Cash losing his balance but recovering nicely. Watching the replay, I almost feel like he did it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like a I'm selling that I'm not normally a high flyer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When they showed that at first, the live one, I was like, oh, he almost fucked up. But when they showed it again, I was like, that kind of looked like he did that on purpose.
It was a little cartoony, a little exaggerated. But yeah, no, that spot pissed me off because afterwards Dax is just standing in the fucking ring for like 30 seconds, not climbing the ladder. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you got all the time in the world. What are you doing?
Realistico showed out. Realistico showed out. Yeah, oof, they both showed out in that match.
And it's funny because, you know, we're talking about everybody except for the guys who won. But, I mean, Big Bill has some crazy fucking did some stuff in that match, too. I don't know that it took away from the whole match for me, but that the shit with Dax, it was just like so. It's one of those things where something in wrestling makes so little sense that their character isn't doing it that it just like kind of took me out of it. I'm like, everybody's fucked up on the outside and you're just like walking around the fucking, like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it was weird because I could understand it if somebody got in the ring like 5-10 seconds later because you're like, oh, you were never going to have a shot anyway. You were just waiting for him to come in. But to be in the ring for that long with two ladders that were set up and you knocked them down.
And it might not have been his fault. He might have been waiting on somebody else to hit their
cue. Yeah, it could have been somebody laid on a spot, for sure. But it just did not come off optic-wise.
Yeah, so I'm not blaming him specifically. It could have been anybody.
But what do they say? Babyfaces and wrestling are dumb, so.
Yeah. So now the tag title shot, though, is Big Bill and Starks versus Golden Jets.
Correct. That's
something.
And I do believe the Golden Jets will win it. Now, the question remains whether that will take place, if they're going to wait till World's End, which I believe they will. Because now, with a seemingly monthly pay-per-view program in place, they'll probably skip January, but for the most part, like towards this last half of the year, it's a every month situation. Which means we won't see as many of those big blow-off matches on Dynamites and collisions as far as title matches go. We'll still see some title matches every now and then, but like title matches where you have a shot at actually changing hands, titles changing hands, I don't think we're going to see that as often. So that kind of sucks. But I felt like that was one of the things that you're like, oh, you got to watch AEW every week, because if they announce a fucking title match, you'd have no idea. There was a lot of people that didn't think Shida was going to beat Shida was going to beat Saraya on that fucking Dynamite or Collision or whatever it was, and she ended up winning. Like, it was insane. I was like, oh shit, okay. So I mean, it's whatever, dude. What do you give the entire pay-per-view, though? We grade pay-per-views all the time on here. Clearly it was solid from an in-ring action standpoint, from top to bottom. It was literally, yeah. I feel like the in-ring action aspect of it was a B-plus to an A-plus the whole way. But when you start factoring in storylines not making sense, spots not making sense, it does clearly take away from the pay-per-view as a whole once you rewatch it. So with your assessment of the Brian Cage coming in and losing something, the FTR spot, the Samoa Joe, MJF, Adam Cole thing not really making any sense when it comes down to the end of the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. how much does that actually take away from the overall pay-per-view grade for you?
Like, on a, if it was on a 10-point scale, it'd be like 1 point off. So it's enough.
So
a
plus to a regular grade, like an A plus to an A type deal.
Like, it's and it's probably what I would give. I would give it like an A. The other thing we didn't really talk about or get into is Jay White. Jay White pre-injures MJF, has MJF come out, wrestle injured, basically on one leg the whole fucking match, and still loses. Now, granted, he lost to being hit with objects, but it's kind of the same as the Seth Cody thing for me, where somebody's got a clear injury and you still end up fucking losing somehow. It doesn't make you look good at all.
No, it does. I mean, well, he's not buried. I don't know what the fuck.
No, I wouldn't say that.
These. I know you're not saying that, but that's been a discourse on there. I'm like, what the fuck? No one, definitely not on this show, and no one that's actually been paying attention and watches the product thought Jay White was going to lose or win that batch, right? There's no way. Right. But there is a better way for him to lose that batch. Like, for instance, based off what we actually got on the pay-per-view, when you said, hey, Adam Cole, why the fuck didn't you hit him with something? That would have made sense. If Adam Cole hit him with the crutch, he turns around and gets clocked with the fucking diamond ring, and that's how he loses, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
If we take that scenario out altogether, and you have Samoa Joe come in and defend the title for MJF, and he wins in a straight-up match because it surprises Jay White, and now he's got to go against, like, a pretty much healthy Samoa Joe, and already warmed up Samoa Joe, if we're being real, because he had the tag team match, and he loses to Samoa Joe, that makes sense. I'm okay with that. But I agree with you. The way that they did it, because of how long the match was, and this man is on one leg the entire time, it definitely gave off Cody Rhodes torn pec in a Hell in a Cell, still beating Seth Rollins vibes. Doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense at the Hell in a Cell match. Seth Rollins should have won, especially when you knew Cody was on his way out. And it didn't make sense here. Even though we knew MJF was going to win, there should have been a better way to book Jay White taking the pin, because Jay White is known as a wrestler who always kicks out. So how the hell did he lose to one-legged MJF with, like, virtually nothing else going on?
That's the thing to me. It's like, why would you do the injury spot you do the injury spot when you're trying to make somebody lose and still have like credibility afterward because they got fucked up before the match or whatever. You can do it as the heroic babyface spot, but I don't think you do that against Jay White. I think they should have just never done the fucking injury spot. Just completely forego that. You don't need the tease about it being Adam Cole at the end or any of that bullshit.
I'm okay with him doing the injury spot, but you could have done the injury spot in this match. So you could have had him getting taken out, him coming out regularly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm still wrestling, I'm good. Come out regularly. And then Jay White goes to work on his leg, and that's when they do, like, the Mankind Hell in a Cell, where they're trying to, like, dude, you got to get the fuck out of here. And then he stops halfway up the ramp, like, nah, I'm fucking going back in. Adam Cole's trying to stop him, because Adam Cole could still be out there, obviously. He's trying to stop him, like, nah, I'm going back in there, I got to do this. So then he goes in there, doing the whole Adam Cole is going to step in for you when he's got a more fucked up ankle than you have of leg doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, he wasn't physically there. But the other thing, too, is if you wanted to tell the, like, pre-match injury angle or whatever, just have the fucking guns attack him on the ramp when he's coming out. Why not that? Also, if the story you're trying to tell is to build the intrigue for the devil shit, and is trying
we're
to...
Almost like, it's almost like we're complaining because MJF sold the injury too much. Is that accurate? Yeah, right? Yeah, that's what I feel like. He sold it too much to make him seem like he had zero shot. And then ended up coming back and winning against a healthy Jay White makes no sense. If you just, like you said, if you got attacked before the match and it was just like a regular ass injury and he just started working on it the whole match and you just come back from that, that would have made a lot more sense. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like the ambulance thing, coming back, all that shit, acting like you can't even walk, crying at the scrum type deal, like all that stuff. I'm sitting there like, there's no way Jay White shouldn't have been able to beat you one-on-one, especially when Adam Cole did not get involved. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Well, he did give the ring. The spot
he gave
where
Jay
fucking,
White the ring.
The table
MJF
broke.
MJF took it off of Jay White.
The spot where the table broke before it was supposed to, and he still ended up doing the goddamn elbow anyway. Jesus Christ. Just an elbow drop straight to the fucking floor.
Yeah, straight to the floor. Yep. That didn't hurt your leg?
Well, no. He said at the scrum that that's what was fucking hurting. Was he landed on his hip or whatever, and it was all fucked up.
Yeah, once that adrenaline starts wearing off, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. That's a long fall.
All right, so I think I tend to agree with you. I think I'm going to give it an A as well. I think it's an A. I don't think it's the best pay-per-view of the year. I think it's really fucking good. We're splitting hairs really nitpicking at pay-per-views at this point for AEW, right? They're like the top four fucking pay-per-views of the year. If we're talking about pay-per-view of the year for the Monster Awards, for the fifth annual Monster Awards this year, like, the only ones in the running really are going to be fucking AEW pay-per-views. Forbidden Door 2 technically is AEW and New Japan, but you get what I'm saying. Right. Like, it's going to be AEW. Like, it's going to be hard to pick which AEW, but even Wrestle Dream, a lot of people were clowning Wrestle Dream before it started, and it ended up being super fucking good. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. All in, obviously, with the biggest crowd ever. That's up there. Yeah. Like, it's going to be quite interesting to see how those votes go. But we do need to move on because my throat is killing me. All right. AEW signs Will Ospreay at Full Gear. That's the one thing we didn't talk about as far as Full Gear goes because it wasn't a match. But
yeah, bro.
So the big signing, I'm going to play a clip from Thursday. We recorded the predictions, and we recorded another clip of who we thought was going to be the new signing. And since I was wrong once with the match rating system, I might as well go ahead and admit I was wrong again, as I decided to call everyone who thought it was going to be Will Ospreay idiots. So watch this video real quick, and then we'll react.
Probably
Let's
Mercedes.
Not act like we have to do any kind of real journalism on this show when people are on fucking Twitter talking about Ospreay and Mercedes and don't know anything about their fucking contract situation. Like, whoever says Ospreay, you're an idiot. He already literally said on TV, in your face, that his contract does not end until after Wrestle Kingdom of next year. That's his last show. Okay. So, that's me calling everyone idiots. Anyone who thought it was Ospreay. Clearly, I was wrong. I am the idiot. But I would like to say, in my defense, we have never seen anything like that before, where a dude is clearly under contract with another company, comes in and signs another contract right in front of our face while still being employed by the other company that he said he wasn't leaving until January.
Why'd you take out the part of the clip where I had said that afterward? Because right after that, I was explaining to you, like, yeah, but you don't know that it couldn't be him because you don't know how their contracts are set up or whatever.
Because
right?
The clip isn't about you. It's about me being wrong.
Okay. It can't ever be about me being right. All right. I see.
I mean, you weren't right. You just said that we don't know what it is. I mean, clearly we didn't know what it was because I was wrong. So it wasn't Mercedes. It wasn't Ziggler. It was Ospreay. So the question now is to you, now that I can get back on my podcast outline here. The question to you is, the newest signing obviously is Will Ospreay. Will AEW's roster in February of next year, when he officially joins, be the best roster of all time?
You got Danielson, Omega, Ospreay, Pac is still technically there, Ibushi. I mean, it's pretty hard to say that it's not.
Jay White,
you could,
MJF.
You could say, yeah, MJF, obviously.
Adam
Jay White,
Cole,
yeah.
Samoa Joe, Claudio.
Claudio, yeah. Moxley. Yeah. I think it's pretty fucking hard to make the case.
Adam
that it's
Page,
not.
Swerve.
Yeah.
Like,
there's so many that you start
insane.
Forgetting to name them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And that's not even counting the people that they could use and just aren't right now, too, like fucking Keith Lee and stuff like that. So, yeah,
Keith
man.
Lee, Lance Archer, Dalton Castle. Dudes that you know could get over huge and still, can wrestle.
You're still mad about that dude talking about Dalton Castle, huh?
I don't care if you don't want him in the tournament, but you're not going to sit here and tell me that he's a joke. It would make the tournament a joke. Like, they just put Mark Briscoe in the tournament. Everybody can go fuck themselves. I was right about that. My shit, my fucking guys that I picked in my fantasy booking of that shit, better than what the fuck they currently have up there right now when they put Mark Briscoe in there. Sorry. They literally announced it during the pay-per-view. Mark Briscoe's in the Continental Classic. Therefore... Okay. No one needs to tell me shit about Dalton Castle being in mine.
So you want Jeff Jarrett in there, yeah?
I'd rather have Jeff Jarrett in there than Mark Briscoe. Yes.
For real?
Yes. Why? Briscoe is a comedy tag team wrestler, dude. Like, this is not what... If Dalton Castle and Brian Cage and Lance Archer and Scorpio Sky are problems for people because I put them in my fucking fantasy booking of this tournament, but Mark Briscoe's okay, then you really need to evaluate your situation because you are incorrect. The guys that I have in my shit are better than Mark Briscoe.
Hold on a second. Mark Briscoe is funny, but he ain't a fucking comedy wrestler.
No, he's the comedy wrestler. The motherfucker does kung fu chicken fucking spots in every match. He's a comedy wrestler.
Okay. We're gonna have to agree to disagree on that one. When Eddie Kingston does machine gun chops, you think it makes him a comedy wrestler?
I've never laughed at it, so I don't think it's funny, so no.
Have you laughed at Kung Fu Chops?
Yeah, because it's dumb.
Okay. I don't hate him being in it. It's just, it's one of those things too where it's like, well, you know he's not gonna win. They could, I mean, it's pretty clear that the story that they would be trying to tell with it is it's a way for him to get the World Ring of Honor Championship that he couldn't get before. Blah, blah, blah. They could sell it, but I don't think he's going to come close to winning this block or anything.
And no shit, he's not going to come close to winning the block. He fucking better not. He better not be in the Final Four. I think he gets 3 points the entire thing. I think he gets one win on somebody.
I'd have to see who else
they
put
in. I don't like that either. I don't like that we don't know why didn't they announce everybody at this fucking pay-per-view who was going to be in it? But this shit starts Wednesday, does it not?
They still might not know.
Shut up, man.
I'm serious. They probably know who's going to win. And then he's probably still like, look, like, who the fuck, which one of you guys wants to wrestle, like, basically every week for the next fucking
Even
month
though
and a half?
We know you're not going to win. Yeah. Well, that's a hard sell.
Especially when it's like, you all have right, to have so really good competitive matches.
This is better than the 2008 SmackDown roster, then, is what you're telling me?
Yeah. Even though
by the way, Sting will technically be still on the roster at the beginning of February as well, because Revolution doesn't happen until later, so Sting is still on there, too.
And
so
he has Copeland.
Sting, Jericho, as well. Copeland, yes. Like
Christian.
This shit's insane, dude. Their roster is insane. We didn't even get to, like, Powerhouse Hobbs and Sammy
Guevara.
Ryan
Nemeth.
Fucking nuts. Fucking nuts.
I imagine they'll have the full blocks and everything by Wednesday. They have to, right? Unless they say that they're only going to announce one block and then they'll announce the next one fucking Friday or Saturday or something. But
it's 12 people and we've only got like 4 people in it right now. That's a lot of people you got to fucking announce.
Yeah.
It's Danielson, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, and
Andrade.
Andrade, yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. I assume Miro will be in it, like I said, though, because Andrade's in it now.
Probably.
Yeah, dude, I have no idea how you don't say that this is the best roster of all time from top to bottom, especially male roster.
We didn't even talk about any of the women on there, because you got a lot of really good
tag teams either. We didn't talk about tag teams. Like, I mean, we didn't even bring up Malakai.
Right.
Like, Malakai's definitely up there, too. Like, it's insane how good this roster is, dude. All right, let's move on. Becky Lynch accepts the...
Well, hold on. One other thing. Do you think in like 18 years people will be posting like GIFs of the AEW roster and be like, the AEW roster in 2023 was stacked?
Yeah. I think you could do that about the NWA roster from pre-pandemic too right now, based off who they had and how they look right now. Like, yeah. Oh, the NWA roster was stacked.
Fucking Ricky Starks and, yeah.
Ricky Starks, Eddie Kingston, Thunder Rosa, Molina.
LA Knight was on there then too, wasn't he?
Nick Aldis, LA Knight, yes, Eli Drake, whatever. Yeah. James Storm, Ken Anderson, Damian Sandow were all on that roster. Fucking insane, dude. And now they have a few of them left, but it's few and far between, and like everybody's gone. Most of them are in AEW. So yeah, that's insane. But yeah, so Becky Lynch accepts the fourth spot on the Women's War Games team, which doesn't make a shit ton of sense because she's on a different brand. But I don't know why we even keep mentioning this, because clearly they don't give a fuck about the different brands. So it's Bianca wanted Charlotte to make a call to someone, but no one knew who the fuck she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I initially thought she was talking about Jade.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte was staring down, Jade was staring down Charlotte in a backstage segment, which like she's done with everybody, obviously. But I thought that's who she was going, like, that would have been cool as fuck to me. I don't know if Jade is the person you want her first match to be a War Games match, but that would have been fucking cool to me. But they went with the Becky thing because Becky and Charlotte have a history. Then, of course, they had the last segment that they had together was not great. And then they came out online and basically said they weren't friends anymore, like, for real. Shoot. So,
yeah,
it was surprising, I'll give you that, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But what do you think about Becky being the fourth member for this team? And do you think it even matters? Because I have the question set up like this. So, she's the fourth partner, the mystery fourth partner at War Games for Charlotte, Bianca, and Shotzi against Damage Control. One, do you like the move? Which is basically what I've been asking. And do we think that the move is fucking pointless anyway, because Dakota will turn on Bayley like she did Tegan Knox at their NXT War Games match?
I don't think she's going to turn in this match, but I mean, the story that they're telling is clearly about the split, so you can't have them be successful and still split, right? So I mean, there's got to be some kind of friction, fuck up, whatever. That's
yeah. So yeah, I get that, but there's no way Bayley's taking the pin, though, right?
It might not be that. It could be like a miscommunication where Bayley hits a finisher on somebody else incorrectly or something.
Yeah, maybe. Bomb, I can see that happening. Yeah, I mean, technically, I guess based off your options, you have Io, Kairi, and Asuka. So I guess Bayley would be the one to take the pin, which it seems crazy when you have Shotzi on the other team. The heel should be winning this. The heel should be winning this.
I like Shotzi.
Yeah, same.
I
think,
but somebody posted it was supposed to be like a highlight video, and they were like, oh, if WWE would just like let Shotzi do what she's able to do or whatever, then she'd be crazy. And like the highlights were not like good.
Like, well, it was like her almost killing herself every fucking time she wrestles.
Yeah, she looked, some of the top rope stuff, I was just like, damn, girl, like, you gotta tighten that shit up. Because it looked like she was gonna hurt herself. And some of the stuff, like, some of the apron spots she does, and not topes or anything, but, like, moves onto or over the apron.
Yeah, the DDT spot.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oof, like, fuck,
dude.
Well, like,
say in her defense, Ronda Rousey definitely took that one incorrectly on the one that she did to her.
No, I'm not even talking about that one. I know that was Rousey's fault. But, yeah, no, I'm more worried about, like, her hurting herself than somebody else.
She could be hurting everybody in this War Games match. You better give her free reins in two cages and all kinds of weapons and shit. Like, it's about to get real up in here.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that everybody else that's in the match cannot afford, WWE cannot afford for them to have any major injuries. It's literally Shotzi versus Legends.
Well, there's one person that could get injured. Nobody really care that much.
Oh, man. Are you talking about Charlotte? Because I slapped the shit out of you. I slapped the shit out of you right now. I'm so sick of this Charlotte slander, dude. It is not her fault that WWE is booking her to fucking win 16 goddamn times, dude. It's not her fault, dude. She's not booking it.
I'm not saying I want her to get hurt. What I'm saying is if she got hurt, it wouldn't really hurt anything, because it's not like they do anything with her.
Yeah, not unless he's winning the title.
Right.
I mean, she's doing something here. I think she should get some color like her dad in this match, dude. Right out the gate. She got the blonde hair just like her dad does. Put her face against the cage and fucking make her bleed, dude. Like, let's fucking go. Old school War Games.
I mean, Asuka will do that shit. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Becky being added. I do think Jade would have made more sense with the Bianca part of it, maybe. to have her like call in somebody that nobody would expect or whatever, and like you could set up some shit where they've been like working out together or whatever the fuck you want to do with them, like to set them up as like a mini stable or a tag team or something. But or like there's a lot of stuff you could have done, but it is weird that they paid all that money for Jade and she hasn't even fucking wrestled on television anywhere yet, right? That's strange. Like, what are we doing there?
I don't even think they still know what they're going to do with her, which sucks because you presented her so well and now she's lost pretty much all the steam that she had.
Yeah.
NXT, backstage at Raw, backstage at SmackDown, backstage at the fucking pay-per-view. You've had her everywhere and you're telling me you can't decide where the hell you're going to put her at?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. All right, let's talk about... We mentioned her a little bit already. Ronda Rousey, she's back, debuts in Ring of Honor. Now, here's the question for this one.
Hmm.
One, what do you think of the move based off of how people feel about Ronda Rousey? Not even just as a wrestler, but as a person because of the crazy shit she said online before in the past. But what do you think of the move? We already know the terms of that current situation based off of what TK said in the scrum. But do you think that TK should sign her for a Ring of Honor, even if it's a short-term deal moving forward, if, like, obviously Rousey wants to do it? Because, like, we were talking about when we were texting back before, I said, damn, TK is doing anything he can to try to get Ring of Honor a TV deal. And I think this would actually help big time, even if it was a short-term deal.
Yeah.
As far as, like, her personal shit, there's a bar that I have with that where, like, you can have some stupid fucking... You could say some stupid shit. You could believe in some stupid conspiracy shit, and I'll normally be able to separate it a little bit from the worker. Like Trent occasionally will like some pretty questionable shit on Twitter or whatever, but he doesn't. It's not like he's going out of his way to fucking talk about it or say dumb shit or whatever. So I just don't think about it. It is what it is. It's whatever. But Rousey was so vocal with a lot of hers and said so much stupid shit that I think it's harder for people to look past in that same way. I think if you try to bring her into an AEW or you try to keep her around super long term in ROH, I mean, she's always going to have that mixed reaction. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, you can have people with mixed reactions their whole career. The problem is why she's getting a mixed reaction. Part of it's her personal stuff, and part of it is that people just don't like her fucking attitude towards wrestling in general. And it is kind of funny that now she's going back and doing the... she's like trying to pretend that she's doing the earning her way up, like paying your dues shit by doing like two indie shows and then ROH and then maybe like two more ROH shows and right up to AEW.
Based off of what we've seen Ronda Rousey do in her life, getting dropped on your head by a 19-year-old indie wrestler is kind of paying your dues if you're in Ronda Rousey's position. That's pretty much all you're going to get. Like, that's the ceiling of that. Like, what else do people want exactly? Fucking Wrestle Revolver, for fuck's sakes.
I want her to get paid in a hot dog and a handshake a few times. And
those are the indie promotions you don't want to work for. Those are the ones we stay away from.
She has to put over Emi Sakura, and then I'll let her
in. If she puts over Emi Sakura, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to put her over. Fuck, Jesus Christ. The most she got put over was the fucking... the chop that she put on Tony Storm's chest, and they mentioned it on fucking Full Gear. Like, that's the most she's been put over in a while. Like, come on, dude.
You bring her in, have Emi Sakura beat her, and then I have no problem with her being there.
You know, otherwise, you have Emi Sakura beat Tony Storm, and then not only does Emi Sakura get the title, but she gets Luther too to be her servant because she's the queen.
Yeah,
take everything away from Tony.
Where the fuck is Yuka at? I miss her.
I'm pretty sure she's still in Japan. Like, I want to say TJPW, but yes, I'm pretty sure she's still over there. I thought she was coming back soon too. I feel like they fucking said she was coming back, and maybe she came back for like one or two appearances and then bounced again.
I thought they said Rhea was coming back a little bit more permanently for more American matches.
I don't know what's going on, man.
Yeah,
could be a visa thing. I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, no. I mean, it's the Rousey thing is it's not going to make me watch anymore. But
you already have it anyway. So, but do you think like a casual person? I mean, clearly she has fans in WWE.
Oh, you mean like, do I think people are going to buy or watch ROH?
Yeah. Like, you already have the subscription, so clearly it's not going to make you go out of your way to get it. But maybe like a WWE casual that was a really diehard Ronda Rousey fan even before or later on, They do exist. Let's not act like they don't exist.
Well, would you get six of them people to sign up
for them to get the subscription service? Like, if you think this is a ploy to get some more subs?
I think it's a ploy to get more attention on the product. I don't know that it's...
But not subs unless she gets signed to some kind of deal, though, right?
Yeah, probably. Unless you announce her ahead of time on stuff.
I'm okay with it. As I've said before, I have zero issue with Ronda Rousey as far as when she's on the screen. And when she's on the Twitters, that's a different thing. But when she's on the screen, I'm cool with
it. There's definitely some people that I can separate that stuff for. Like, if they didn't, like, fucking sexually assault anybody.
Well, I think it helps me more because I don't see that shit pop up on my shit either. Like, there's certain people, every time they say something stupid, somehow it comes across my fucking timeline. Mm. Hers doesn't. Like, she's not doubling, tripling down on shit like, you know, Flip Gordon or fucking TJP or some shit like that. Like, I can't, I'm done with that stuff. I will never watch a show if it has Flip Gordon on it. I'm just letting y'all know right now.
Did you see that picture he posted where he's got the three hats acting like he was about to fucking choose between three? Motherfucker, nobody's trying to sign you.
Choose what school he was going to, like it was fucking college.
Nobody's trying to sign you, Flip. I haven't thought about Flip Gordon since that fucking, like, before that picture.
The All-In pay-per-view? Where he won the Rumble and then lost for the title or whatever? For the Ring of Honor title or whatever the fuck it was.
When I first saw that picture, I thought it was fucking Austin Theory for a second. And I was like, oh yeah, fucking Flip Gordon, that's right. And then I remembered, oh no, he's a fucking idiot. The funniest thing somebody
said, Fred Rosser, and she said, who? Said, primetime player, she said, who? She said, oh yeah, I know. And I said, the other guy. God, that shit is the best promo.
That's a
dude.
Brutal fucking promo.
Dude, it is one of the S tier promos of all time. I loved it. Every time it pops up on my timeline, I have to watch the whole thing again. It's so fucking good.
Buried that.
So good. She said, who?
I replied that to somebody when they were talking about a Fred Rosser match. Dude. She said, who? God damn, dude.
Good. All right, we got to move it on.
Why did that even come up? We weren't even talking about him.
Because you said nobody knows who somebody is.
Oh, Flip Gordon?
Yeah, Flip Gordon. Like, the last time you said that. the guy in the very first All In, she said, who? The guy that was in the Casino Battle Royal, and she said, who? The guy that was the Joker, and she said, who? Like, the guy that lost the Ring of Honor title. Oh, him. And I say, that fucking idiot.
Or the guy that, I forget who it was, but somebody.
Yeah, I forgot who the Ring of Honor champion was at the time, but he ended up losing to him.
Somebody
wasn't it the Ring of Honor championship that he won the Battle Royal to get a shot, I believe, the Ring of Honor World Championship, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe. And he ended up losing. I think that's how it went.
The way that I remember him the most is that I think it was David Finlay. So Flip had posted some fucking idiotic thing on Twitter again, and David Finlay retweeted him and said, "You are the dumbest person I know, and I know Ospreay."
Oh, that's who he was talking to when he said that? I do know that tweet, but
God damn. Why is Ospreay catching his prey? That's right.
Yeah, Flip Gordon. And then Flip Gordon.
Where's my camera out?
Lost to Jay Lethal later. That's me. My bad. That's my bad. Jay Lethal, was the champion and he got the shot against Jay Lethal later and then he lost to Jay Lethal. You're good. That's what it was. I knew that's what it was. I just couldn't remember who the fuck the champion was in that show.
Jay Lethal. Rey Mysterio. I remember Rey Mysterio.
All right, let's go. We're going to move over to our final topic. I have no extra stuff today because I knew the full gear review was going to be a long one. Backlash France. It's official. First ever PLE was announced for France. Backlash, obviously, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. This is a big deal. Like I said before, when the rumors were going around about this, is that I think a lot of this has to do with TKO and Endeavor, the merging of that, and they want to do a similar model that Dana White wants to do, where he goes all around the world because the gates are fucking huge. And not only are the gates huge, but you also get paid by countries and companies to have your shit there. So why wouldn't you go to more of this international stuff? Who gives a fuck what time the U.S. people have to wake up? We've gotten fucking 40 years of pay-per-views at the same time. We're fine. If they can't watch it at 2:30 a.m., then that's on them, bro. Everybody got the Peacock thing. It's going to be up there when you get up. turn your phone off like I did for Full Gear when I was at the hockey game, so you don't get any fucking spoilers if you don't want spoilers. Like, people need to start taking some responsibility around here, talking about some, oh, I wish you didn't post that. Now it got ruined for me. Who, get the fuck off of social media then while it's going on? What do you think it's for?
I think, okay, so the Endeavor thing rings true to me, that it probably opened up some more contacts for WWE through TKO that they didn't have before, or through Endeavor or whatever. But the thing that stands out to me is that when we're talking about UFC doing those international events, they're not moving nearly as much stuff. They don't have pyro. They don't have the whole fucking stage set. They don't have like proper ramps and all that shit. It's literally just the octagon and the cage set up around.
No, I 100% agree with that. But I'm tired of hearing a billion-dollar industry tell me it's logistics and all this other bullshit when you've done it in the past. And just minimize your set then if that's the case, so you don't have to bring over as much shit. Like, there's no reason for you not to have those shows over there when the positives outweigh the negatives, though. That doesn't make any sense. Like, all we heard for years was when somebody asked, hey, is London ever going to get a pay-per-view, etc. Oh, yeah, we wish we could, but the logistics just doesn't match. Wow, you're making more money than ever. Fucking go over there. Get more money. That's new money. Like, it's never made sense to me. Like, you need to be going over to these places because it'll be hot as fuck over there, and it makes your mediocre product look better on TV because these motherfuckers are loud as shit because they have been craving for that to be over there in their countries.
We get some big fucking Corbin wins over in France, and I'll be happy. They got to put him in a match, and it's got to be one he can win because they love him over there for some reason. But I hope they put him in something big. Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're doing international. I think also, aside from the Endeavor thing, I think they saw All In and were like, oh, okay, well, there's a bigger market for this than we thought if our competitor brand, challenger brand,
well,
whatever.
In their defense, they did do Clash of the Castle before All In happened, so.
Yeah, but they ran a smaller stadium than I think they could have.
Yeah, that's Cardiff. Probably true.
So. I think maybe they were worried they couldn't.
They're not as good at gauging the interest from the fans as TK was. Because TK was very confident that he was going to sell that place out.
And he almost did. So, yeah.
It's fucking awesome to me, though. I'm very happy for all the overseas fans that are going to get fucking legit PLEs and not fucking live tours where nothing happens and shit. Like, yeah, live tours are cool because they have cool moments and stuff and, you know, oh, I get to take a picture with Corbin. He doesn't ever do that on TV because he's an asshole on TV. You know, shit like that. Like, that's cool. You get those moments, those house show moments. But to get a PLE where something legitimately that matters in canon on TV can happen in your country is way bigger, way more motivating to go out of your way and get tickets for and show up and be loud as fuck.
I don't know. I guess different people go for different reasons. Some people go to watch the matches. Some people go to interact with the wrestlers. So if you get a better chance of doing that at a house show, they might be more inclined to go to a house show. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't been to a fucking house show in a long ass time. I keep meaning to go to DPW one of these fucking days, and I just never get around to it because obviously they run here. But yeah,
they usually have some good talent every now and then coming through there too.
Yeah, and it's only a couple hours away. I really should be going.
We had a there's a really rinky dink indie promotion around here somewhere that was actually sponsoring the hockey game. One of the sponsors for the hockey game. When both times that the fight broke out, they put the promotion up on the thing. It was pretty cool. I was like, okay, that makes sense. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they already don't take advantage of enough U.S. markets, too, though. I feel like there's places they don't really run that much, and they probably could get, like, a decent
amount of people. They could get decent crowds, but is it going to be as loud as an international crowd? I don't think it'll be close.
Yeah, maybe.
WWE's always had a problem with running West Coast anyway. The general West Coast, they don't almost ever run that unless it's SummerSlam.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Just logistics too, coming all the way from New York headquarters, Connecticut, whatever.
Well, now it's Florida pretty much, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's asinine. Yeah, you have Tony Khan literally sit there, and I believe, I want to say it was Jericho who said it too. LA has some of the best wrestling fans when we go here for AEW, and like, well, why do you only go once a year then? And you go to Chicago 8 times a year, 9 times a year. Like, come on, man, go.
I'll say this. The Kia Forum looks like shit on TV. The way that
I mean,
they have the
saying that, but it was just as loud as any other pay-per-view, so I don't have a problem with it.
I don't mean the sound. The sound was fine.
No, no, I understand what you mean because of the wall, the way it's set up, the hard cam setup. Yes, I understand what you're saying, but it didn't take away from me. The coolest moment in the entire show for me was when the crowd got ECW style fucking loud when Hangman Adam Page spit up fucking his blood and went to the corner and they went fucking nuts, dude. That was ECW like crowd noise for that spot, for that match altogether. So it didn't really take anything out for me, but I understand what you're saying. Optics wise, I get it, but I could say the same thing about the Royal Rumbles being ran at the fucking Garden or whatever, where you're literally looking at the fucking little mini door back there the whole time, and I'm like, that doesn't look great either, but it didn't really take away anything for me. The crowd is still asininely, like, super fucking loud.
I got to cover it up with a drawing of people, like in the flat 2D, like they do in fucking video games.
That would be fucking hilarious, dude. That'd be funny. I'd be cool with that. You got piping noise for those guys too, though. Meaty file noises.
Yeah, dude, like the old
Super Nintendo. Every time somebody hits somebody.
Now, to be fair, on the crowd popping on that blood spot, I will very rarely. Sometimes I'll say, "Oh fuck," or like, "God damn," or whatever, out loud at home when I see somebody do some shit. I say, "I fucking stood up." When Hangman was drinking that fucking blood and then stood up and spit that shit, I was like, oh! I stood up. It's like, god damn,
dude. When they showed the angle where you could literally see it pouring into his mouth.
Yeah.
And how much was pouring into his mouth. And then how much blood went into the air.
I didn't know what he was going to... I thought he was going to spit it back in his face. Dude, but it ended up being cooler doing it the way they did it.
It was nuts. Fucking nuts, dude. And I'm not trying to sound racist or anything here. Because it's really hard for when African American wrestlers bleed, it's hard to see.
Oh, yeah, his blood is so bright.
Dude, he was bleeding so much.
Yeah, and it was so fucking bright.
Yeah, the lights, there was so much, and it was so bright. The lights were bouncing off the blood off his fucking face at one point. Like, that's how much he had on him.
You know what they did a good job with the camera? Swerve did a good job with this. When he would get the staple in him, he would specifically turn back and forth to make sure the light caught it the way that you could tell that he was doing it to do that. Like, and it would fucking shine and flash every time. He did a really good job of that.
I think all doubts of it being real or not into his body was over as soon as he got the one in his cheek. So the first cheek one, I don't think that both cheek ones were supposed to happen. Right. I think the first cheek one happened, and then that fucking paper didn't stay up. So then he did it again on the other side, and then that's when he fucking did the actual spot that he was supposed to do. So I think Swerve might have got an extra cheek staple for no reason.
He's CZW alumni. He'll be all right.
Not everybody in CZW just does fucking death matches, just so you know.
He did do death matches, though.
He also did dance matches with Will Ospreay, so...
Yeah.
Let's not act like he's a hardcore death match wrestler out of nowhere.
I mean, I didn't say the man's fucking...
Nick Gage.
That's one I already watched back once because I just thought it was because I okay. So I finished the pay per view. I listened to the scrum, and then I slept for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what? I don't remember if I just remember that match being really good. Because I was just like excited to see the show, if it was like really fucking good. But I see everybody talking about it. I'm gonna go watch it back. That match was really fucking good. But then I think that's where it clicked for me. I wasn't really into the Brian Cage interference though, too. So
I was 5.5 for me. That's insane. Fucking insane. I kind of want to go to only want to do 5.25 because in case they wrestle again, I'm fucked, right? If they do even better than that. But I don't know how you top that, honestly. I just don't know how you do it.
I think you should write a tweet apologizing to Dave Meltzer and then explain why. There you go.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good like that.
All right.
I don't give a shit about Dave Meltzer's opinions.
You
weren't
talking shit about a system, though.
Yeah, we did talk a shit about the system. So
why are you apologizing to me, but not Dave? It's Dave's system.
I apologize to you because I was acting like you didn't know. Well, I didn't act like you didn't know what you're talking about, but I acted like that wasn't a legitimate reason to give people higher stars than fives. But Dave Meltzer also doesn't do it 1-to-1 like I say I'm going to do it now because that makes more sense to me to do it 1-to-1.
Okay.
So they have a, if they have a fucking Hangman Swerve 3 and it ends up being even better, I guess I'm gonna have to go 5.75 or 5 or 6 even.
Like, Dave Meltzer's also watched more wrestling than both of us combined times that's fucking fine. 5.
He can watch as much wrestling as he wants, but not doing a 1-to-1 comparison doesn't make any sense to me when you're doing that kind of shit. I mean, at least in my opinion.
Encyclopedia like, brain.
I understand the shit you were saying now more, but only because of this instance when it was literally me comparing the same match to the same match or same guys.
Well, okay, but think about that with Omega and Okada. I mean, obviously, you would probably say that the 2 out of 3 falls match at Dominion was probably better than one of the other ones, but it's not like you would give them the other ones less than 5.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, I would change that now, is what I'm saying to you. Because
it's weird that you wouldn't have done that before. That's what I'm saying.
It's whatever, dude. I admitted I was wrong. Get the fuck off my nuts about it.
I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just asking about if that's your logic. Is that, oh, well, it's the same one. I mean,
like, for instance, I would, well, it's not better, so I guess I can't really, I guess I could say, okay, so the Hell in a Cell match between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, the first ever one, which was insane. I'd probably give that a 5. So the next time they fight, that was a really good fucking match, was WrestleMania. I'm probably giving that over a 5 based off this new criteria that I'm doing, if that makes sense. I like their first WrestleMania match better than the second one. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I think their first one is actually better than the career match. So I'd probably give that a 5.5 or a 5.25, depending on, I'd have to go back and watch it, but that match was insane. So
I think
it had to be 1-to-1. I mean, the match types and shit can be different, including a different match, but if it's the same people, and it's the same, this is literally a 1-on-1 match, and it's the exact same two people, then if it's better than a match that I previously just gave a 5, then it has to be over a 5. So I agree with that part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's going to do it for the show, because I got to stop talking. Right. I appreciate everybody coming through. I'm now dropping a lot of frames, so it's probably going to cut off again on me. I'll see you guys next week. Deuces.